welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 374. That is a lot of fucking episodes. My name is Chris Furchio, and I'm here with Jeff Jordy.
What up?
And Travis is sick, yes, or playing Destiny, or doing something. I don't know.
Some type of ad.
So, filling in for him is Alex O'Neill. What's up,
hey,
Alex?
Hey.
How you doing, bro?
I'm back.
From the Irrational Passions
from
show.
That's Interactive, right. Passions. Irrational
Interactive
Distractions.
Irrational Distractions. Distractions. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. So today we're going to do a shorter show. We're just going to do distractions, possibly touch on one or two news stories, and then we have an email, and then we'll wrap up. But before we do that, let's see what's going on. Alex, welcome back, dude.
Hey, yeah.
It's been a long time.
How you doing,
it's been
man?
A couple years. I'm
Tell me what's
good.
Going on.
My house exploded. That happened.
Oh shit, that's right. I saw that all over Facebook.
Wait, what? No, I did, what?
My neighbor's house, two doors down from me, exploded. Like,
oh,
actually, like 2.5 hours worth of gas leaking into the house and then blew up, exploded.
What?
Did they leave something on, or was it just like a
leak? I don't know. I don't think they weren't home, so.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, no one was home. No one got hurt in this whole thing, but it was like a row
that's
of six
incredible.
Townhouses. Yeah, it is really a miracle. It was a row of six townhouses, and mine was on the end. And because this house exploded, it did like permanent structural damage to my home, and now I can't live there anymore. So,
oh shit!
Oh wow, you guys can't live there. Okay.
Yeah. So that's where I'm. I didn't mean to bring it down like right from the get go.
No, it's all right. You're in good spirits. You're not crying.
Yeah, no one was hurt. So like, it's all kind of like so stupid. It's kind of funny to me. So that's where I'm at with it. Because now I can tell people my house exploded. So, and it's mostly true.
And his insurance has to pay for it, right?
I was renting, so yeah, the homeowner, yeah, he's gonna make money off of that, so. Or at least I hope.
That's amazing. Well, I'm glad you weren't hurt, man. That's-
yeah, apparently the BG&E guy, cause my friend is a firefighter, so he told me what happened. He went in, he's like, this shit is fucked. We need to get everyone out of here. And then he closed the door behind him, and then the house exploded, so.
Whoa.
They were in there?
Yeah, he went in there, saw like, oh my god, gas is leaking, this is terrible. He left, and as soon as the BG&E guy closed the door behind him, the house exploded. So he's like the luckiest human being that has ever lived.
Seriously.
No doubt, man.
So he got scratched up, but he went to the hospital, he's fine now. And he was the only one hurt, so. Just a lot of people, kind of like lost homes that they could live in, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's fucking awful.
So we were moving stuff out this week, and that's pretty much been my week. That and working, and so all my stuff's pretty much out of the house now. So luckily nothing was damaged also, so it was a good deal.
Yeah.
In the long run, if it had to happen, we came out all right. So yeah, there you go. That's what's up, Chris. I'm sorry.
Jesus. I need a second to process this. Holy shit.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if you guys knew, so I figured I'd let you know. But yeah, we're all in pretty good spirits about it. We just need to find a new place to move. So.
Yeah.
I mean, so where are you guys now then?
Are you guys in a hotel or something like that? When did this happen?
This happened last Wednesday. So
wow.
8 days ago. The Red Cross put us in a hotel for a couple of days, and now we're kind of all staying with family. I'm staying at my aunt's house right now. And my one roommate is, with, his mom in a little way up the street. And my brother, who's my other roommate, is here as well. So, yeah.
All right. At least we got a place to stay.
Yeah. And our cat is with us. So all's good.
That's good.
Everything's covered. And I got all the important stuff out. I got my PS4, Xbox One out. So we're good. We're covered. We're solid.
You're covered.
I can still play Destiny. So, no, but yeah, everyone's okay. So it was just a kind of a shitty situation to be in.
Yeah, no kidding. I saw you guys posting pictures of breakfast because I guess you guys went out and got breakfast.
Yeah,
or something.
We stayed up till like 6 a.m. that night because we were like, well, where do we go now? We were able to get in the house with some firefighters that night and kind of just get an idea of what happened and get some stuff. And then we went out and just ate breakfast at 6 o'clock in the morning. So it's a long night, that's for sure. But yeah, that's what's up.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, now you both know. Now
okay.
I can feel
well. No one's gonna top that shit.
Yeah. Yep. So how you guys doing? Great.
What's up, Jeff?
Not much. I realized how old I was like 2 weeks ago. I went to that Riot Fest festival.
Mm.
That's was literally right up the street from where Tanya and I live.
And you came home hurting.
Oh my god, dude! You so. It became a kind of a shit show. We went there. My buddy came over at like 10 o'clock in the morning. We started to have a couple drinks because, you know, we thought that the beers and stuff would be so expensive at the place. They weren't actually that bad. They were $7. I'm like, that's usually pretty damn good for like a show or like a festival.
Now, $7 for what?
For a beer, or I think you could get wine.
But if you paid how $8, much?
Yeah, how much beer?
It was like a can of beer.
It's like a regular 12-ounce can?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
12-ounce can of beer.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, this is Canadian prices, right? So if you went to a bar and got like a bottle of beer or a can of beer, it'd be like $5. So it's like basically $2 more than if you went to a bar. So it's still shitty, but it's not that bad. It was way less than we thought it was going to be. So we show up. The first band we really wanted to see was on at like 3 or something. And it was, can't remember if it was Thrice or Cancer Bats. I can't remember who. I think it was Cancer Bats. They're actually a local band. We show up, we take an Uber, we go over there. It starts pissing rain, like the most hardcore torrential downpour ever, right when we get out of the Uber to walk to the field where this whole thing is. So luckily Tanya got ponchos, so we had ponchos. It was mud everywhere. It was fucking crazy. So Cancer Bats, I got a good buzz on. I get pretty close to Cancer Bats, and they start playing, and everyone starts going crazy. And I'm right in the middle of the crazy. I'm like, fuck it, whatever. I'm going to join in. So I went in like the circle pit kind of thing for a bit. And I just realized how old it was. I can't keep up. I lost my shoe. My shoe got like messed up in the mud. My foot came out, and I was like, oh, fuck, really? The first band, I lose my shoe. And then luckily about like 2 minutes later, this girl comes up to me and goes, I think this is yours, and holds up my muddy ass shoe. It's me. I'm like, oh, thanks. And then, you know, we went over and saw Thrice, came back. Alexis on Fire was the headliner. They were freaking amazing. They're back together now. I'm not sure if either of you guys are fans, but they broke up for a while, and this is kind of like a reunion tour, but they announced in Toronto that they're actually back to stay. So everyone went nuts. That was cool. Who else did I see that day? Oh, Coheed and Cambria.
Hey, nice. They're all right.
Yeah, that was good. Nice. They were actually one of my biggest surprises. I thought they were really, really good live. And Weezer. We didn't really watch Weezer. We could hear Weezer, but we were waiting on the Alexis on Fire stage for them to show up because we were really close for that. So the next day, we went home that night. We walked home. Me and my buddy were like, so we're all fucking drained. And I think we went to bed at like 1. That might seem kind of late, but usually I'm up to like 4 in the morning when my one buddy, Evan, comes over. And we're just toast. And the next day, I could barely get out of bed. Like, I got out of bed. I almost fell to my knees because my calves were killing me. My back was killing me. My hips were killing me. My pinkies were killing me. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can fucking make it. And the next day was like Rancid, which is the main band that Tanya wanted. Like, we had to go because she wanted to see Rancid, and I wanted to see Rancid. And my buddy's a big Rancid fan. And Wu-Tang was playing that night. We're like, yeah, it'd be funny to see Wu-Tang. And not funny, but we've never seen a hip-hop show. So we're like, yeah, why not? So I almost didn't make it. I had to force myself to drink a few wobbly pops before we left to even feeling close to good. And I know it's like, that's what a typical alcoholic says, but it's fucking true. Like, I was like in so much pain and just hungover. I'm just like, oh my God, this is the worst. But it ended up being really good. It was a lot of fun. It was a long 2 days. I ended up calling in sick from work on the Monday because I just felt like a bag of shit when I woke up on Monday. I couldn't move, and it just made me realize how old I am now. Cause we didn't even go like all day Saturday and all day Sunday. We went like most of the day Saturday, and like we went and saw like 3 bands on Sunday. We didn't say the headliners of The Prodigy, and we watched like them play like 4 songs. We're like, yeah, okay, well, whatever. I don't, we're tired. Let's go. It was a lot of fun. I would do it again. I just wouldn't go in the mosh pits and get that close.
Yeah.
We were
yeah.
like for the first few bands, we made sure we were like really close cause we really wanted to see them. And then, yeah. But it was a good time. I'd do it again just from further away. It was fun just to walk around to the different stages and, you know, listen to some new bands we've never heard of. So that was cool. And then last week was a buddy of mine's birthday. We just went and celebrated that. So that was really fun.
Cool.
And, that's basically it. Nice. I think today's the first day I'm like not sore from Riot Fest 2 weeks ago.
that's recovery for you.
Chris.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, not a lot going on up to now, but going camping this weekend, so we're looking forward to that. And apparently, Mark is in town. Savorycade. So
Mark. Okay, I was going to say.
Yeah. So he's in town.
What the hell is he doing in Atlanta?
He has family here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have family here. So He dropped me a Facebook message and we're going to try and get together while he's here. We're coming back from camping on Sunday. So I'm going to try and get together for dinner or something on Sunday, and he's here until Thursday. So, hopefully we can figure out a time, go hit up Battle and Brew or something like that. That would be cool. But that's, you know, it's nothing's been planned yet because, you know, we haven't really had a chance to talk. So, but hopefully I'll be able to get together with him. I haven't seen him in a while.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, pretty much that's it. Same old stuff outside of that. So let's move on. We got to find out what's going on from the game side. So Alex, what's distracting you, buddy?
So I decided, I made the life decision, the life altering decision to buy Destiny.
Okay.
You play the first one though. I say the first one like it's a sequel.
I played vanilla Destiny. I never bought it. My brother had a copy at some point about 5 months ago. I decided to play it.
Okay.
Just, you know, to give it a shot, you know, cause I played the beta and alpha and I'm like, there probably isn't that much in this game, is there? I got that feeling, those vibes when I played those kind of previews of it. And I decided not to buy it. I'm glad I didn't, at the time. So then I played it a little bit earlier this year and, you know, it's a really fun game to play, but there wasn't, you know, I didn't know how much there would be there for me. So I waited and then I listened to what people were saying about Taken King. I'm like, all right, sounds like there is plenty of game here, especially if I'm, you know, I didn't buy Destiny beforehand. So, I'm pretty much getting everything for $60.
Yeah.
Where people who spent $60 last year got nothing.
Like if I buy it again, I have to pay $60.
Yeah. That's kind of like the fucked up part is like
getting a better deal than
deal. It's like if you bought Destiny for $60, you'd have to spend like the 25 or 30 or whatever for the expansion pass and then 40 for Taken King, or you could just buy them together for $60 and save like $5 or whatever. So kind of buying the Taken King if you decided not to get the season pass, is just kind of fucked all around, I think. But
yeah.
For people like me who just skipped Destiny altogether,
then you're getting a deal. Basically.
You're getting a sweet deal, especially I have the Best Buy Gamer Club unlocked, and I had like a $10 credit there, so I got Taken King for $40.
Like 30, oh, nice. $30 or whatever.
Yeah, so I dived into it, you know, and I related the changes more from like Diablo 3 to Loot 2.0. So... Yeah.
I would agree with that. I mean, I feel like we mentioned that last week too. Maybe, that's about the same level of change. But yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah. It's not like the same changes necessarily, but
it's that level of change.
Yeah. It's that significant. The gameplay just, you know, feels like I'm leveling up faster. It feels like I'm making more progress. It feels like I'm getting things more often. Right. And it feels like those things are of a higher quality.
Yeah.
So. It's a more enjoyable experience to play. And I'll say, like, you know, cause I just started the House of Wolves stuff cause I'm level 18 now. And I just got like to the point where I can access Mars. So I just started the House of Wolves stuff and I had done some of the Dark Below stuff, which were the two expansions. So that's like integrated into the story. It's not like I don't have to wait till I'm like level 20 or whatever to do that. I'm just doing that along the way. So it feels like there's just a ton I can do. And that's a great feeling.
There's a lot. I mean, now there's now a lot that you can do.
Yeah, and I haven't even gotten to any of the Taken King content because I haven't finished kind of the vanilla content. I didn't jump to 25 immediately because I wanted to play through it because I never played through it before.
Sure.
So you can still do that even if you don't have another character?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I had my level 5 character that I started in vanilla earlier this year. So I just jumped back into her and then continued on with that character. And then I'm saving that 25... level 25 instant token for another character I might want to make down the line. So
what, are you on PS4 or are you on Xbox One?
I'm on PS4.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Cause I had, just enough people like reaching out to like say, hey, you should play with me on PS4. I'm like, okay, sure. And I do have other people on Xbox One, like, our good friend Joe Fate.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought you might have been playing with those guys. Hey, Joe and, Tyrone playing a lot.
Yeah. And Joe said he'd been playing like every day. So, but I did not get on Xbox One. It was a tough decision. That was kind of like the first time I had to make that call because there were equal amounts of people. I do have an Xbox. It's worth noting. But I just, I decided not to get it. So, but yeah, it's really fun. Like that game shoots real good.
That was never an issue. Like, that's one of the things that we always talked about is like, yeah, the actual shooting mechanics in that game
is amazing.
It's awesome. It's just the amount of content was light. And, especially when, now that you're getting to some of the Taken King content, you can see, have you done like the first mission on Phobos?
No, not yet.
Okay. As soon as you will notice the difference as soon as you start that mission on Phobos. Mm-hmm. It is a remarkable change in how they approach the narrative. Mm-hmm. So, and Nathan Fillion is in it a lot and he's fantastic.
Yeah, I love Nathan Fillion.
He's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I'm like really excited to play more of it. And it's nice because I think I've played like 15 hours or so far and it feels like I have a lot left. Hopefully.
Yeah. I put a lot of hours in the vanilla. Well, by a lot, I put like 45 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean
that's a lot.
Yeah, but that wasn't the content though. That was like 20 hours of the main content and another 20 hours of repeating stuff to
level up.
Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I haven't seen any of the raids yet. So like I have that to look forward to. I've heard they're really fun.
Yeah, those look
that's the best the best stuff in the game is the raids. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and you know what? Just if you see us on. You know, we play it a lot too, so just jump in and, you know, we can help you out as much as we can, so.
I'll keep that in mind. I'm trying to get to level 40 before I start, like, really going out of my way to play with people, because almost everyone I know is 40.
So you said you finished the vanilla piece?
No, I'm still working through vanilla stuff.
Yeah, go in order. So do the vanilla Destiny until you get to the Black Garden, and then do, the Dark Below stuff, which is like three missions, so you'll blitz through that. And then do House of Wolves, which is a little bit more deeper, and then jump into Taken King. Cause by that time, you should be level 40.
Mm-hmm. Chris, check to see if Travis is playing Destiny right now so we can call his ass out.
Oh no, he is. I looked.
Really?
Yeah, he's on Destiny right now.
Really? Is he in a party and like playing and shit?
Well, I mean, let's see. Let me refresh my friends
list. Cause you have a cold, you can talk and playing Destiny communicate, but you can't do a podcast.
Yeah, we know.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm happier that Alex is here.
Aw, thanks.
This is the way it works, though. When the person's not on there, you
so
have
it
to
says
call them
he's
out.
In orbit, which actually like said he's been in orbit the whole time. So he may or may not be playing right now.
Gotcha.
He may just have it out. He may just have it on idle. Mm-hmm. But yeah, because it looks like some of the other guys, like Ken, is in a strike. Slugga's on patrol.
And he could be in their party. Though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could be just waiting.
He could be.
Jeff, are you on PS4 or Xbox One?
I was on Xbox with vanilla.
Okay. Did you switch over or have you not?
No, I did not get
to. Okay. Are you going to?
That's probably not. Well, okay. I mean, like, okay. I'm stuck right now.
Sorry, we talked about this on Twitter. I remember now.
Yeah. Like October, end of October, that's like the floodgates open where there's a bunch of stuff.
Never stops at the end of
exactly.
October.
So it's like my Destiny time would literally be from now till October 27th, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, it's just like all over. So I'm like, do I want to pay $60? Like, I could probably get through all the main content, no problem, because I've already done like the vanilla stuff. I just have to do the two expansions plus the Taken King. And then, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to play because I've heard nothing but good things about the Taken King and how much shit they changed and tweaked and all that stuff. But I considering how much I criticize Destiny, I played it a lot. Like, I usually never play a game for 40 hours. Never mind, like 45. Like, mm-hmm. It's very freaking rare unless it's like a fighting game.
Yeah, and especially not shooters, you know? I mean,
yeah, exactly. Like, I hardly ever play shooters that long. Even like, except for like, maybe every once in a while there might be a Halo game that we get into the multiplayer a lot. But even 40 hours is still like a lot.
Yeah.
And I like the gameplay, and I feel like if I really like Taken King, if they fixed everything, I will not play the other games that I want to play.
Yeah.
Which sounds stupid, but at the same time, I'm like, well, I don't know.
It's completely understandable because that's where I'm at right now because I want to play Metal Gear and I'm playing Destiny instead. And, you know, I know the way I'm going to do it is like, I'm going to work out a point where, there will be days when I just go on and do one mission in Metal Gear and maybe switch to Destiny, or I set out like 1 or 2 days a week where I just play Metal Gear because I love that game and I will definitely keep playing it.
So. If I do get Taken King, I'll probably switch over to PS4. Because if I'm going to spend the $60 anyway, there's no point in keeping me on Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people who play it on Xbox One, but they're not necessarily people I play with all the time. So, and I know there's always going to be people playing on PS4. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, I'd probably switch if I got Taken King. And yeah, like I said, the money thing is paying the same amount regardless.
Yeah.
So
and like I told you, on Twitter, kind of my big thing with it was like, I'm pretty much clear up on video games until Tales of Zestiria comes out in October, what's which that? Is like mid October, which is like,
okay.
You guys probably didn't even know that game existed.
I had no idea. That
was really I lost track of the Tales games like 5 games ago. So
yeah,
Vesperia was the last one.
I've played all of them since Vesperia. So
wow. No, holy crap. Yeah.
I'm one of those crazy people.
You say all of them, and I'm like, they released more after Vesperia?
Yeah, it was like Vesperia, Grace's F, Zillia, Zillia 2, and
oh, I did hear Zillia.
So I got that, and then in October, Halo 5, which I just played through all the Halo games for the first time this year, so I'm actually excited.
For the first time ever?
Yep.
You play for the Halo, like all of them? All of them. For the first time ever. Oh, wow.
I played some of 2 and some of 4. I got the Master Chief Collection in April or May. And I played through all of them for the first time.
See, and I just by yourself.
And now that I have the shooting mechanics. Now that I'm accustomed to the shooting mechanics in Destiny,
to how it works.
I'm looking forward to the Taken King. I'm looking forward to the Master Chief Collection when I do get an Xbox One because I never played through them either.
You'll realize how similar they are.
Oh yeah. I completely understand how similar.
Yeah, they're almost identical.
Yeah, they're similar but different.
Yeah.
Especially because the Halo games now, in the Master Chief Collection at least, are 60 frames per second, and it makes a big difference.
That's true. Yeah.
But yeah, I really liked them, and that was kind of like my first exposure to them. So now
you liked all of them? You liked playing through one?
No, I hated playing through one.
Outside of the first 4 missions, one's pretty bad.
As soon as the floods show up in pretty much any of the games, it's just like, oh my god, this is terrible.
Even in 2, even in 3.
Yeah, I liked Halo 2 a lot. And 3 was a bit more rough. It was like 3 and 1, it was kind of a thing where if I felt like it was just going on for way too long.
Yep.
But they were still fun. Halo 5 is doing that whole switching between 2 characters stuff that I think worked really well in 2. I think
it looks like that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I think that could be really cool. So, and 4 I thought was excellent. So
I like 4. I'm one of the few people that think 4 is the best campaign out of all.
I agree with you. So
nice, sweet. That makes 2 of us.
That makes 2 of us. Ever. Yeah. Like I get the whole go here, touch this button objective thing, but it's still fun.
Yeah.
So, and I liked all the new enemies and the new weapons.
I thought it was better than all the backtracking that are in all the other games.
Oh, yeah, jeez. Especially 1. Oh, my God.
1 is the worst for that shit. Literally, the second half of the game is going through the same levels you already played, just backwards.
Yeah, and it's a goddamn nightmare. But, it's a game from 2002.
I get it. Exactly.
Until the end of October, and you're right, the floodgates open, I'm kind of in the clear. So... That was kind of what educated my decision. Now I need to get Persona 4 Dancing All Night.
Of course.
but I have managed to get my hands on that yet. And that's like a dirty secret thing that I'll do not in my Destiny time, so.
Yeah.
Dirty secret thing. What exactly are you doing while playing? Is this a game you can play with one hand? Okay.
Right. I can't answer those questions, so. But yeah. Anyway, what were we talking about? Destiny? something about density.
Anything else you were playing besides Destiny? Or do you guys have more Destiny to talk about? I have no problems. This is a new Destiny content. I'm cool with this.
I mean, I haven't seen anything new yet. So.
We're talking about the Taken King a year from today. Then I'm going to fucking have
issue. Yeah, I mean, I dig it. Chris, since you've been there since OG, right? So
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like we talked about it a lot last week, Travis and I. So I don't want to go too deep into it. But I will say that that we did... finish up the new raid, the King's Fall, and it is fantastic. It is really, really good. And, the grind is really starting now though, because, once you get into it looks like max light level, because now there's the experience level and then there's the gear level, and it's kind of like WoW that way, apparently. Like, WoW now has like item levels and that's how you get into, higher level dungeons and things like that. Mm-hmm. I think that the max is 310, right? So, you said you're at like level 18, so you're probably like in the 100s somewhere, right?
Level 97.
Okay. So yeah. And that's about right. So at the end of year 1, you know, everybody was level 34. The people that were level 34, they were at light level, like between 160 and 170. So that gives you an idea of how much they increased, the actual cap as far as the item, the gear goes. But right now I'm like light level 300. You know, my gear is level 300, and that step from 300 to 310, that's where the grind is. And that's where the raid comes in too, because the raid, all the gear that drops is between 300 and 310. So that's kind of where that comes in too. But, yeah, I mean, it's just a fantastic, redo of the game. I mean, they changed so much of it. And the new raid is more of, I want to say going back to what they did with Vault of Glass, which was the first raid in Vanilla Destiny, which was easily the best content that they had released for year one. I mean, without a doubt, that was the best thing they had for year one. The second raid, which was, Crota's End, was a good distraction for a little while, but it never compared, to the Vault of Glass. Well, King's Fall is better than Vault of Glass, in my personal opinion, because there's more, the boss fights are, there's more of them, first of all. There's four bosses in the raid. There's platforming sections, and there was a platforming section in Vault of Glass too, but this one has like four of them. And then even the last two boss fights have a lot of platforming in them. So it's really, you really have to have a group of people that are good at a lot of different things. Yeah, it's just, it's really good. And as you get closer to that level 40 mark, and you get closer to getting to the raid, you know, keep poking your head into the parties that we're in, because, you know, we'll put you in, we'll get you into the raid, and it's a completely different experience. It really is. So
yeah, I'm really excited to see that stuff, like see kind of like tiered lengthy missions that have a lot of depth to them.
That's and you know, start doing, like, when you get the opportunity, start doing the strike playlists too, because that's a lot of that content is now varied. Like there's one particular strike that I did over the weekend where I, you know, we were doing strike playlists, and it came up, like, we did it for like a few hours, and it came up like two or three times, and it was different each time that we played it. Like the way that the enemies are laid out, you still follow the same path, fight the same boss, but like the actual path you take is populated with different mobs, of enemies and, different mechanics and that kind of thing. So, yeah, they did a lot to keep it a little bit more fresh, moving through the second year.
That sounds really cool. Yeah. Cool. We can put the Destiny talk to rest there, I guess.
Yep.
So especially because I haven't really dived too deep in on it. The other stuff, I just, you know, at some point today I realized, oh, it's October. And I'm like, what happened to September? I'm like, oh yeah, Metal Gear happened. Oh god.
Yes.
It was like, at some point it was September 1st, and then like I checked the calendar, and I'm like, it's September 22nd.
Did that come out September 1st?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I'm like, September 22nd, and like 97 hours in Metal Gear later, I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. So, yeah, that kind of just, I blacked out at some point and lost myself into that. Have you finished it, Jeff?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you finished it?
Yeah, I finished it. Okay. I got the second, well, I beat chapter two.
Yeah. I don't know if you talked any at all about how you feel.
No,
about
not
it.
Since I beat it. We literally last one was on. It was like when Metal Gear first came out. We just talked about it kind of briefly, I guess. Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling?
To put it bluntly, it's gonna take a miracle of a fucking game to knock this out of my game of the year game for this year.
Mm-hmm. Like for Metal Gear, yeah, it's
yes.
It's really good.
It's kind of like not fair. It feels so unfair to compare this to literally any other video game.
Yeah.
Like, oh, go ahead.
I can't explain it though. That's the thing. People are like, why is it so good? I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. It's like, I can tell them what's so good about it and like, why is that different than this? I'm like, well, maybe it's my personal taste, but I like, it's open world, but I like the fact that you're basically picking missions from a menu and just puts you where you need to go. Mm-hmm. I really like that. So it's like, I just want to knock out a couple missions. You can do that.
Yep.
And the storyline, storyline's all right. And I think there's actually is a lot of story and a lot of cutscenes, just that it's so far spread out. If you're doing side ops, it doesn't feel like there's a lot.
Yeah.
And chapter two, especially, there's a lot of cutscenes in chapter two. A lot of shit happens in chapter two. A lot of stuff happens in chapter two.
Yeah, it's like a whole other game. pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. And when I beat chapter 2, I was satisfied with the ending. Mm-hmm. I was satisfied with all the tapes I listened to afterwards and explaining some stuff. There's still some stuff I'm like, this doesn't make sense, blah, blah, blah. It's Metal Gear. That's going to fucking happen.
Yep.
Take it at what it is. Take it at what it is. Just fucking accept it and be like, it's a video game. Kojima's a crazy asshole.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, he is.
But I'm still playing it to this day. Like, I got a new game literally last weekend, and I'll talk about it, like, out of my distractions. But I just keep going back to Metal Gear. Because I'm going back and just doing side ops because that I haven't done because I just love the gameplay. I never do that. Any single open world game that I beat, whether it was like Infamous, Red Dead Redemption, Grand Theft Auto 5, I'm always like, you know what? I really enjoyed these games. They're awesome. I'm going to go back and do some of the side quests and clean stuff up. I've never turned them on since then and gone back and just done random shit.
Yeah.
With Metal Gear Solid 5, I am like constantly, like every day, playing a couple missions here and there just because I think the game is like just fun. It's stupid and fun.
Yeah.
I love it. It's a video game.
When, because we've been talking a lot about it, Navish and I especially, on IP, because him and I both really love The Witcher 3, and the way I've been putting it to people is, like, what The Witcher 3 does for, like, open world narrative, Metal Gear does for open world gameplay. So they're kind of like, both like the total realization of both those things that you want from open world games, like on opposite ends of the spectrum. Like Metal Gear is like game good, so much game, right? And like there's so much of it and it feels so good. It's just stupid good how it plays. And Witcher is just like that story. That kind of like in-depth personal story in an open world game. It's like usually this genre.
With not a lot of game.
Yeah. Yeah. But like the gameplay is like, okay, it's fine.
It's tolerable.
And usually like, you lose something story wise in an open world game. You don't lose that, in The Witcher, or usually you lose something gameplay wise in an open world game. You don't lose that in Metal Gear. So it's been just like a really great year for a genre that like I used to consider myself not a fan of.
Yeah. Same here.
And, now I'm just sitting here and like with my freelance writing, I've been trying to like sell basically this idea to pretty much any publisher who will listen. I'm like, I don't think Fallout 4 is going to be all right. Like,
yeah, really?
I don't think,
you think it might be too like behind the times?
Maybe? Yeah. I don't think Bethesda can just do their formula again and have it be okay in 2015 with Metal Gear and Witcher 3 in that same year.
See, things like, okay, Witcher 3, I really like Witcher 3.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I put into Witcher 3 because the Witcher 3 game timer is so fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, and like the second day I played it, it's like, you've played 24 hours. I'm like, I know. Like maybe 8.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing around 50, but then I just kind of like, I just kind of stopped. And I think, and with Metal Gear, I was constantly playing it. I just loved it.
Yeah.
And it solidified in me that I totally choose gameplay 100%. Over story,
yeah,
and like an exposition, anything like with characters. Not that it's bad, just that I don't know if I can go back to Witcher now after playing Metal Gear because I had totally intense like impulses to like go back to Witcher 3 and at least beat the main story.
Yeah,
but I have no drive to do that right now for some reason. Like,
I mean,
I didn't beat Witcher 3. Obviously, you did. I know Brian loves it.
Yeah,
it's like one of his favorite games. But I don't know, man. But I didn't play Metal Gear like an open world game.
Yeah,
like
neither did I.
I think that's why, because like with Witcher 3, it's like, oh, here's what do I want to do? I want to do this quest. I have to go all the way over there. I have to do this. This is like, it's like, oh man, it's like, why can't I just do all these in a row? Like a Metal Gear, you want to do all the capture a prison, extract the prisoner things. You can just do that all in order. It takes you to where that area of the map is. And you just do it. You do it. You do it. You get out.
Yep.
And just, it cuts out all the traveling shit, all the useless traveling stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just annoying. To me.
No, I think that makes perfect sense though. Like, you know, I'm definitely saying like Metal Gear plays better than like most video games, just full stop.
Yeah.
It's kind of, like I said, it's just kind of not fair. It's the kind of game where like there can be a lot of depth to a system where if you shoot a lot of people in the head, then they start wearing helmets and then you can send your soldiers out to stop them from wearing helmets.
Yep. Every time I'd boot up the game, first thing I'd do is check my deployment, thing, see where I was. And if I had anything with a helmet or a sniper thing, whatever, I'd send them out. And like, I had like not a lot of problem with that stuff with helmet stuff because that was like my first thing I did. I had like a little routine. It would be, I'd do that, check my development shit. And then check my side ops, check my main stories, and then just be like, all right, what am I going to do?
Like,
that's how I did it.
Have you done any of like the invading other people's forward?
I didn't do any of that.
So yeah. I recently, that was like kind of like the last that I did was kind of getting into that. It's actually like really fun.
Really?
You know, like people compare it to invading other people's worlds in like Dark Souls or something. Yeah. But it is like that, except like you're stealing their soldiers and then their stuff. You like feel like a dick, but it's fun because like, you know, if like they catch you or their systems catch you, if their systems catch you, basically they can't retaliate. They killed you. They stopped you from getting whatever. If they come into their base and they kill you, they can retaliate. But if you're never seen, if you're like truly stealth through their base, like they won't be able to see who stole their stuff. They'll just be able to see
them up in their name because it tells you who it was. Yeah. Invaded your stuff. Yeah.
So, and you know, like it's pretty easy to set up your base. So it's hard to invade and they have to be like of a certain player quality level to get in there and take anything. But you know, it's fun to, there's competition, like me and this one person kept going back and forth and taking stuff back and forth. And, you know, it was like kind of like a harmless rivalry. You don't really lose too much if you lose anything.
Yeah, no, it's just kind of trivial stuff.
It's just still. So I would recommend checking it out. It's better than I thought it would be.
Maybe I will. I've been too. I'm just like, I don't know if I want to do that. But, and then All Nine doesn't come out till like next week.
Yeah, it's 5 days from now.
Yeah.
October 6th, man. I'm actually excited for that. That looks awesome.
I have no desire to do the base stuff. That's the thing.
No, I didn't. Which base stuff? I don't either. But I might try to see, like, whatever. I did a training one.
But that's the problem. It's like, from what I understand, it's really hard to get any freaking fuel if you don't do things like that. It's like...
But you don't really need fuel. That's the thing. You don't, like... Unless you really want to get the top-of-the-line shit and, like, build up... Like, I didn't build up my entire mother base. Like, I still have... I don't have any... Oh, I have one. One platform I have 4 out of 4. The other ones are, like, I have a couple that are 3, and most of them are 2.
You need fuel to build really a nuke, though.
Which?
Is the nuke.
Oh, to build the nuke.
Yeah, I'm building my nuke right now. I gotta play for another 22 hours in order to build it. But,
oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it takes 25 hours to build the nuke of in-game time.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and I'm trying not to, like, just let it run. But,
yeah. That's one of my only complaints is the further you get in that game, the longer it takes to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know, I wish it'd be easier because, like, if they just gave you those options a little earlier, you're gonna play it anyway, so.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter, but now I have like maybe 20 side ops left, and then I've done all that and I have like 3 missions left, so I could probably fill that out to 20 hours and then kind of be done.
Oh, easily. I'm not doing any of the subsistence and all like the harder versions of the story missions, I'm just going through my side ops, and I thought, look at my side ups list. I'm like, oh, I don't have that many left. Mm-hmm. I only have 60 out of like 155 done. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm not going to get through all these.
I'll say it's
kind of daunting with how many there are.
I do like the total stealth missions where if you get caught, you have to restart from the checkpoint.
Yeah.
I haven't done
any of those.
Yeah. I feel like those are the easiest of all of those types of challenge missions.
Hmm.
So.
No, I love it. It's going to take Bloodborne or you're like up there and then this was just like, no, this is like,
yeah, it's not fair.
And if something comes out that's on par with Metal Gear or better, then this is automatically the best fucking year for video games.
Congratulations, you win.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you know, there's still
like, was Mass Effect and Fallout 3 the same year?
Mass Effect 2 was 2010, so no.
Then what was Fallout 3?
That was 2008. Oh wait, a big one. A lot of people like 08, in 2007 as well.
I'm trying to think of like two really big, like, you know, like that were just...
I mean, like 2007 was like Mario Galaxy, Gears of War.
Yeah.
That was
a good year.
Yeah.
But yeah, still. Anyway, I really like it. I'm still playing it. I can't believe I'm still playing it.
Yeah, that game is good. That game knows what video games are and...
Yeah, seriously.
Holy shit, man. So yeah, 90 hours later. That's where I'm at too. I just really, really
I'm not
like
quite
it.
There. I think I'm at about 67 hours at this point.
Yeah. It's where are you at, Chris?
I'm not that far. I'm literally not even into the double digit story missions at this point.
Oh wow. Yeah. Okay.
I really liked taking my time with it because, you know, I say like, you know, it's the 22nd of September and I've lost time, but like playing a game every day for like 22, 23 days, like that's a lot of time.
Exactly.
And it was really nice to just have a game to go to for weeks and weeks.
That's why I can't believe it's already been a month.
Yeah.
Like I was like, usually I'm done with a game in like a week or two.
Yeah,
it's usually 2 weeks.
It's very rare that a game will actually fill out that month. Like Witcher did that for me earlier this year. But like Batman, even I finished in like a week.
Batman, I was done a week.
So it's a nice feeling, you know. And it's not like I did 170 hours in 5 weeks. It was like, you know, not too many hours in a pretty long time. So,
gotcha.
The only other thing that I just play all the time, still always, is Spelunky. So
you're just always on that.
Always on that. It's like the one game I'm good at. So. Kind of.
I've never played it.
It's real good. So yeah, that's it for me.
Cool. Chris.
I don't have anything to add because all I played is Destiny. Yeah. So.
Alrighty. I only played one other game that's worth noting, and that was, NBA 2K16. I picked that up on the weekend. I was like, I need something new to play because I was done with Metal Gear, and it was between that and Forza 6. And I was like, well, I just played a shitload of Forza. I'm going to wait for Forza until like Christmas or something. So I downloaded NBA. A couple things that stand up. I didn't get it last year. I usually get it like every second year. Physics are a lot better. Like collision detection, all that stuff is really, really good. One thing I want to touch on is this is the year where they had like a story-based like career mode, which was like directed by Spike Lee.
Yeah, that's right. That was your game. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's in theory, it's cool. So you basically make your player. You start out by playing three high school games. You don't have to play the whole game. You're literally playing two-minute halves, just like to go. You get a hype from being a high school player. Then you get to pick which college you want to go to. Like I think it's like 7 or 8 colleges try to recruit you, like Georgetown, Arizona, like Louisville. You get to pick which one you want to go to, and then you go to the NBA. You get drafted, and it basically starts like your career or whatever. So everything is like motion captured. The entire storyline. The only decision you really get to make is which college you go to. And here's the weird thing. So I tried to make my player, like, look as much like me as I could. So I'm a white dude. And the entire story, my parents are black. My sister's black. My buddy's black. There's nothing wrong with that. But my dude also sounds like a dude from Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm white. It's just very weird. It totally takes out of the moment. I'm sitting there like, how is this like, how, like, really? Like, they didn't take into consideration, like, there's gonna be a bunch of people of different races playing this game?
That's, yeah, that's a little weird.
Like, yeah. Of like anything. Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's just actually like face to palm worthy. Just like, but it's when I hear my character speak and shit, I'm just like, oh my god, that's really funny. And like, the whole thing is like, you're a guy who grew up in Harlem who makes it big in like the NBA or whatever. It's like the whole storyline. You gotta like, well, I thought there'd be choices. There's not. There's a
really?
Yeah, there's one part when you're in college, and the entire time the commentator's talking like, oh, your name's Freak. That's your nickname is Freak. It's for frequency. That's like your nickname. So like, oh, everyone's talking about Freak. Is he gonna stay in college for another year? Is he gonna go to the NBA? What's he gonna do? All these ups and downs. And then after you do your like, you do 4 college games, same kind of style as the high school, but they're like 4 minute, you play like 2 4-minute halves basically, and you just play as your character. You don't control anyone else. And then it's like you have this whole thing where it's a cutscene of you, your girlfriend, and your sister with your agent. Then you're on the phone with your mom and your dad because you promised your mom and your dad apparently you'd stay in college. And the whole thing is like the agent's trying to tell you, go to the NBA. You're not gonna have this opportunity again. You can get injured, you can get hurt, and your whole career's down the tubes. And your parents are like, well, I don't know. You promised education's important, all this stuff. And they keep going back and forth, this whole dialogue for like literally like 7 minutes, the 7 minute like cutscene of like kind of bad motion capturing shit. Pretty good voice acting. Yeah, actually the voice acting is actually pretty good. And then all of a sudden it's like comes down to like your character goes, okay, I'm going to sleep on it and I'll let you know in the morning. Goes to loading. Next thing you know, it's the NBA draft. So you don't get to pick whether to stay in college or go to the NBA. Like if you want to do like college thing again, maybe you get better stats or something. Nothing. It just automatically just starts the NBA draft is the next thing you're doing. So you don't get to that whole thing of like 7 minute cutscene is moot because you didn't have any choice in it whatsoever. And he doesn't even tell them at that time what he wants to do. So it's kind of weird. It's very scripted. And hello?
Yeah, we're here. I'm just kind of thinking because it just, I don't know. It's weird. I feel like that it would have been more well thought out. You know, I mean, it's, it sounds like it's interesting, but it's not necessarily, maybe it's just like the first step. You know, it's like, it seems like they tried to do something different, which I can, you know, I can appreciate, but
it's not badly done considering it's a sports game with a storyline, but it's just very weird how you make your own character, but then it puts you in this family with all these friends, like all this like situations like that. I'd kind of rather them do it like, okay, so when you first get to the NBA, you play 8 games. I didn't play all games in it. I played 2. When you get drafted in the first round. Your stats are so shit compared to anyone who was all, like, it's all the real players who were drafted. So when you start playing, you're fucking garbage. The whole point of the game is just to get yourself better. Right. But you're so, for someone who's drafted in the lottery, you should be a lot better than what you actually are in the game. So it'd actually kind of be, I think it would actually be better if they had like a career mode, which is like the standard my player, you do that stuff with no storyline. And then they had the storyline mode where you're actually a set character. Like they created the character model for you and everything. He looks a lot better than he does with the curated character stuff. And then had you like along this linear path where you actually, when you're drafted, you're actually still pretty good, but you have to make your decisions of like, do I go get endorsements? Do I try to get better? Yeah. Do I, you know, sign autographs? That would be more realistic and feel more like it's your career than the way they did this. I think they should have put like a create your own player in this. It just kind of feels out of place, and you're not doing anything for your own player. You're not making any decisions. It's just super, super linear. Hmm. And except for you playing the games. And this is when I stopped playing. I played this my second game as an NBA player, and I was so bad. I was like, my player went 1 for 16.
Whoa.
And I played well up until that point, decent. And I was like, this is just, they make your character just so bad at the beginning. I was like, it's not fun. So yeah, I want to see what happens. But at the same time, at this early in the game, playing the game is not fun.
Yeah.
But the other game part, when you're just playing like regular NBA team shit, it's awesome. It's great. It's NBA 2K. It's always been good. But I'm not going to bore anyone with like sports talk. So.
I mean, now we know that you don't choose the NBA life. The NBA life chooses you.
Exactly. Like Spike Lee chooses.
Spike Lee chooses for you.
Exactly. When they were doing the draft, I was like, because Spike Lee is a huge New York fan. He's like at all the New York Knicks games. And they're going through the draft. I'm like, oh my God, if they have it scripted where I get drafted by New York, I'm just going to throw this game off my fucking balcony, which is hard to do because I got it digitally, but it'd be just like metaphorically, I would fucking do that. So, but yeah, I'm like, oh, thank God I went past New York. I'm like, this is so Spike Lee if you get drafted by New York. So dumb.
There is no choice in the NBA.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Okay, cool. Well, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back, and we don't have a whole lot left to talk about. Well, we have a, one quick news story that we'll talk about, then we'll do new releases, we have an email, and then we'll wrap up. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Sounds good. It's time to wake up.
Welcome back.
You welcome back.
Yay, sir. You welcome back.
Yay!
Yay!
We're all back. Okay, so we have one news story. For that, I'm going to pass it
one
to
that's worth talking
Jeff.
About.
Only one that's worth talking about.
Yeah, Twisted Pixel. They were bought by Microsoft, I would say, like 6 years ago, 5 years ago.
Was it that long ago? Wow.
Maybe it wasn't even that long ago. I can't even remember. Wow. But they're now going independent again. They, I guess, spoke to Microsoft. They're like, yeah, it's fine. You guys are good. Microsoft didn't like keep the name or nothing. It's not like they like left. They were like, yeah, it's kind of mutual. Kind of like Bungie, I guess. You know, Bungie was like, yeah, we're going to go our own ways. They're like, all right, you can go. Keep your name.
But we keep Halo.
We keep Halo. Yeah, exactly. Like, Halo's right. Ours, but. But so they're now going to be independent. So they said like, hey, we're looking forward to making new stuff on, they didn't really say new platforms. They said, we're still looking forward to working with Microsoft in the future, but I'm guessing this is probably going to be them going multi-platform.
Yeah, I would assume so. And I think one of the reasons, I don't know this for sure, but I have a feeling one of the reasons that they didn't do, PlayStation when they were independent originally is because of the difficulty of the development. Mm-hmm. And now now that that's less of an issue, it might bring them to make games for PS4 as well. But, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
I was just thinking about this actually when I was, taking a pee-pee when we were on break. I was like Genova Chan Studio,
That game company. That game company, yes.
They signed a three-game deal with Sony. Mm-hmm. So they weren't owned by Sony, but they signed a three-game deal with Sony.
Right.
I'm wondering if more independent companies would go along that route, because it does help them out. Having a big publisher behind them does help them with funding and everything, but it seems like a lot of the indie developers that get bought up by somebody don't... They'd rather be independent. They end up being like, you know what, we want to do our own thing, kind of thing. Like, even Ska Games, they weren't owned by Microsoft, but Microsoft had to deal with them to publish a certain amount of games, like the Dishwasher Samurai games and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And now, I think his next game's on PS4, Scott, I think. I can't remember. The one that's kind of like influenced by Dark Souls and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Called. I don't remember what it's called, but it is on PS4.
I'm wondering, because that seems like a better way to go. So you're not being totally like owned by like a big corporation, whatever, but you sign like, okay, you know what? We're little. We don't have a lot of money. Let's sign like a three game contract type thing. And after that, we can renegotiate or just do what we want to do kind of thing. Cause they didn't get much out of Twisted Pixel.
Yeah.
They got Comic Jumper
and, the gun one, the Western.
Oh, the Kinect one.
Mm-hmm.
And Loco Cycle. And Miss Explosion Man. So they had, I guess they had four.
Was Miss Explosion Man while they were under Microsoft?
Miss Explosion Man was after Comic Jumper. So the other guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they got bought out after Comic Jumper, which I don't understand that being the case because Comic Jumper was not good. So I can't see them doing that after that. So I'm thinking they might have bought them out during the development of Comic Jumper. And then it was Miss Explosion Man. Mm. Then Gunslinger? I think it was, Gunslinger. Loco Cycle, which was just awful.
Yeah.
So now they're going back out.
We were we were talking about this on IP recently, how, because we want generally, like, especially Navish and I and Scott too, we want Microsoft to bring back Summer of Arcade. Like
a legit one.
Bring it back, make it good again. You know, you can do it. Like, you got Cuphead, Below. Mm-hmm. Plenty of indie games coming out in the 2016 window that you could totally set up a great 5-week promotion. Yeah. And it brought up like this larger question of like, well, you know, Sony's been doing that like every year now with PS4. So
they do the, I can't remember what they call it,
the Spring Festival or something. And they did that this year, you know, they had Shovel Knight and Titan Souls, and a bunch of great stuff. And it like, we kind of like, I guess came to that realization that the lead platform sales-wise has the potential to kind of have that kind of indie push.
To push that more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Microsoft tried. They said, we renewed the Summer Spotlight, which was great, but Summer Spotlight wasn't spotlighting anything. It was 25 games in a month.
Yeah.
Which no single game was getting any kind of attention. Like, I remember just like booting on my Xbox One saying, hey, what's in the store today? And there'd be like five indie games or something like that. I'm like, I have no idea what these are, what they're like. And it was just like, here we go. It's called the Summer Spotlight. It was just, I think it was August.
Yeah.
25 games in 1 month.
Yeah.
I'm like, but they didn't promote any of them.
And like, we brought it up because we were wondering like, how like exclusives are changing and everything, you know, if they matter, which is like a big question that this fall is kind of like, kind of bringing up. And it's like,
there's not many of them right now anyways.
Yeah.
You know, it's
indie
like,
are exclusives.
Exclusives. I mean, Microsoft has Tomb Raider, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a timed exclusive.
Oh, you mean third party exclusive.
Yeah.
But no, in general, exclusive. Forza is
Halo.
Microsoft. Halo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's all, you know, the things that we expected. It seems like the number of exclusives that are happening are going down.
Yeah, just in general.
You know, generation by generation.
Well, I wouldn't count first party stuff. Because that's like first party stuff's always going to be
exclusive. Yeah, it's always going to be exclusive. But yeah, like you said, even third party stuff, that's even more so.
Way
so,
less.
So like that swath of big indie promotions could like count as like comparable to like one big first party exclusive. And that's like
if they can put in like a package.
Yeah, yeah. And like that pendulum is swinging the other way to Sony now.
Well, like Microsoft used to do so good with those Summer of Arcades. Yeah. Like the first three Summer of Arcades were amazing, and they started getting shitty. I remember like the last two legit ones. I think I bought maybe two out of the five games, and usually all five of them would be like must-have games. Like all of them. I always buy them because I remember if you bought all of them, if you bought four of them, you got the fifth one for free basically because you got like a rebate.
Yeah.
And I didn't do that with any of the last two. Like they haven't done it on Xbox One, but I'm talking about like the 360, the last two on 360 when they still did it.
And I want them to pour that heart and soul into it like they used to, because I feel like they could make a great five game lineup. They could curate that. They could make something
next
worth
year.
It.
They could,
yeah,
especially like Cuphead, below all that stuff. But yeah, I don't know. It's like, but the thing is, it's not like they don't have the exclusive indie games. They do.
Yeah.
They just don't. They don't put them up in the spotlight. Yeah. They don't like promote them or.
They don't do the work that you know to make it like a worthwhile exclusive.
Like I don't know if they got pushback from the devs being like, well, why are these guys getting the spotlight and not like other ones? Like, it's like the Summer Arcade game sold a lot more than any other games throughout the year that were on Xbox Live Arcade. That's like, just because it was so promoted, right? And I guess there's so many coming out there, like, well, now we're just going to have to get like a shitstorm of politics and what are we going to push versus what we're not going to push.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're pushing the ones that they're, are they publishing Cuphead?
I think so. I think
Microsoft
Studios is publishing.
Are they? So that's, I think they're going to have those. Okay, the ones we're publishing, we're obviously going to get more attention to, but the ones that aren't being published by them, they're just kind of releasing randomly.
Yeah. It's just something to think about, like with Twisted Pixel jumping off the bandwagon. Maybe they're ready to start pushing things on Sony on PS4 just because, like, that's the lead platform. That's getting more indie attention.
It didn't from the press, it didn't seem like that. It seemed like they're still sticking close to Microsoft.
Yeah.
They're just going to, they might just go multi-platform.
Yeah.
They might just be like, because I think they just wanted, well, I guess when you're indie, you don't have to hit those milestones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have, like, someone breathing down your neck being like, all right, guys, this game's like, Chris and I talked about this off the air before you jumped on. Mm-hmm. That logo cycle was likely rushed. Not rushed as a game, but rushed to make it to a launch game for Xbox One. Not that it would have helped the game. Like, honestly, I think the main problem with that game was the gameplay. I don't know how they could have made it any better.
Made it a good game.
But the fact that they might have even done that in the first place might be like, okay, you know what? Back when we were indie, we didn't have that problem.
Yeah,
we had money problem. We couldn't get the funding for everything, but now they probably have made enough money where they can afford some stuff on their own to just go ahead and do that. And now put stuff up on possibly 3 to 4 platforms. It might be better for them. But I don't think it's going to be like, I don't think they're going to like jumping ship. I don't think indie, because with indie stuff, I see that, I think it's a more budget thing. You'll see something come out on one platform and like 6 months online, it's on the other platform.
Yeah.
Like Super Time Force, exclusive to Xbox One for a bit. It was like one of their first games of the gold games.
Yep.
Now it just came out for a PS Plus game on PSN like last month, I think?
This month, September. Well, yeah, September.
Was it this month? September? Yeah, so like this month. So it's like, I don't think it's just more of like a, do they have enough people to make something multi-platform? It just goes along to like, put it on one, get it established, and then we're going to go to the other one. Because unless they're not indie, they really can't afford not to put it on everything and their grandmother's platform.
Yep.
Right.
Shovel Knight, same
thing. Yeah, I wonder what they're...
And unfortunately, they started on Nintendo.
Yeah.
So yeah, Nintendo, but they're on everything now, so...
That's what I mean. But they started as a exclusive...
And that's even harder. That's even harder to do.
That's what I mean, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, it just makes me wonder, like, what the returns are with Sony in comparison, like, on Xbox
Microsoft
One.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a curious idea.
I really don't think the... As much as, like, PS4 sold a shitload more than Xbox One, Xbox One still has a shitload of systems out there. Mm-hmm. The amount of indie games, the amount that they sell, I don't think that really makes that much of a difference.
Yeah, I think the promotions that Sony seems to do pretty much every 2 months might make some difference, but it's hard to know.
Yeah. And, you know, they usually give one away for free here and there, which kind of helps.
Yep.
That's actually most of the indie games I've played on both, to be honest. I've been the free ones with games with gold. Like, I would never have played Volgar the Viking if it wasn't free.
That game's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. I never would have played Rocket League if it wasn't free.
Yep.
So, which is ridiculous because that's one of my favorite games of the year.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, that game's a badass.
It's really, really fun. Cool.
Anyway. I just like the fact they're both opening up. They're like, yeah, whatever, just make whatever the hell you want for our system. Just that I wish Microsoft would go back to at least once a year spotlighting at least three of them, being like, here you go. These are in your face, getting a lot of coverage. This is why you need to play this. Instead of being like, oh, by the way, fucking Octodad's out now. Really? Yeah. I didn't even know that was fucking out yet.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, whatever. That's the only thing we're talking about in the news, I guess.
Mm. Cool. All right. Let's do some new releases. We got a few.
Sure.
And actually, feel free to correct me on this pronunciation, Alex, if you know it.
Yeah, sure.
Dengeki Buko Fighting Climax is coming out next week.
A shitty game.
Sure.
Dragon Age Inquisition Game of the Year Edition hits next week. Disgaea 5 Alliance of Vengeance.
Oh.
Transformers Devastation.
Oh man. I want that game to be so good, but I think it's going to be so
shit. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. It's a $50 game, not a $60 game. That might help a little bit.
And I've heard nothing on it. Nothing. They had like a little bit of videos during E3, and that was it. And no gameplay.
They didn't have to tell people it's coming out, I guess. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They didn't tell a lot because I didn't know.
But it's fucking Platinum
and
Transformers. That's like a match made in heaven.
I know, but Platinum's last game was Korra, and Korra was shit.
Yeah, true.
Man, anyway. Rock Band 4 comes out next week.
What?
So that's exciting. Yup.
Yeah.
Farming Simulator 16 comes out next week. Ride.
I wonder if farmers buy that.
God, I hope so.
I really hope not. That would be rough. There's a game called Ride coming out next week. It's just Ride.
Right. That's okay, it, not so. Tony Hawk, right?
Yeah, I was going to say Tony Hawk.
It just says Ride. Ride for PlayStation 4. Looks like, it's a motorcycle racing game. Looks like.
Okay.
Let's see here. What else we have? Duplicate. Chibi-Robo Ziplash is coming for 3DS.
Oh, yeah.
So that's pretty cool. My wife has always been pretty big into the Chibi-Robo games. She loves them. Uncharted, the Nathan Drake collection is coming next week.
Mm-hmm.
And Sid Meier's Civilization Beyond Earth Rising.
Oh yeah, that Rising? Expansion. I heard it's good.
Rising Tide.
Rising Tide. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. So that, gentlemen, is your new release list. Pick of the week. Fucking Rock Band
anything.
For me, man.
Yeah, Rock Band, man. Yep. They're bringing it back.
I want Rock Band, but I got a budget.
Yeah, I'm not getting Rock Band.
I'd go Rock Band, or if you have not played the Uncharted games, get the Nathan Drake.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If you haven't played Uncharted. If you are new to PlayStation, if you did not play the Uncharted games on PlayStation 3. You should go out and buy the Uncharted collection because they are fantastic games.
Yeah,
do you guys play? I played the demo though. Do you guys play the demo?
I downloaded the demo last night.
What is the demo? Is it just one of the games or
two?
It's two. Okay,
it's the part in two when you're helping Chloe go up the elevator and you got the rooftop and the helicopter
it's
comes.
Really cool part of two.
It's one of the coolest parts of two.
The biggest cinematic part of the game. Yeah. Okay.
One of them. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's 1080p, 60 frames. They upgraded some of the special effects.
Yeah.
But that's about it. It's not like a total redo, but it looks.
So it's pretty much an up-res with a few
they
extras.
Said they evened out the shooting across all games.
They did. The shooting felt a lot better.
So,
really?
So
okay,
like
good.
The best shooting from 3 is apparently all the way back to 1.
Yeah.
So.
And the 60 frames helps a lot.
Yeah.
It's really good to look at that game.
I wanted to get the – I'm not going to get it, I don't think, but I wanted to get the demo
I'm not
going to
buy
see,
it day one.
Yeah, see how it looks. So.
Yeah.
I might put it on my Santa Claus list and see if somebody buys it.
There you go. I'm gonna get the Rock Band with just the guitar Cool. Since all the instruments
if anything,
work.
I might do that too. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So that's good stuff. And I also have Gamer Club unlocked, so that'll get 20% off of that 100 and whatever dollar price tag. So
yeah, that's a good fucking deal right there.
It really is, man. $30 and you get 20% off all new games for 2 years. That's fantastic. I
fucking wish they had that.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
It's best deal in gaming, and I'm not even paid by Best Buy, so.
Yeah, I'm so jealous. Chris is always like, I got points with them. How do you have so much fucking money on this shit? He's like, you just fucking pre-order shit and you get fucking money back.
You don't even pre-order shit. I every two games I get like a $10 credit pretty much. So.
Well, that's awesome. That's the thing. It's like, Alex, I have the credit card too. So I get points from the credit card. So it's like, they paid me to buy Batman. Like, no shit.
Yeah.
They paid me to buy Batman. It's like, I pre-ordered it. So I put, with $5, I put $5 down. So I got the pre-order bonus, which was like a $10 reward zone credit, right? And then I had the 20% off, and then I used reward zone points to make up for everything, but like, you have to pay at least tax.
Yeah.
So it was like $2 or $3 left over plus tax. And then I got the $10 credit. So they literally paid me to buy that.
Fuck.
So it works out really, really well.
Yeah. That's a good fucking deal.
But, yeah, good stuff. Cool. All right. Well, I have one email. And this one is from Nobishin, and it's nice that Alex is on while we have a Nobishin email. So here we go. Hey guys, Nobishin here. This is a little too long of a question to send over to Indus Questions, so I decided to send an email instead. This is kind of an essay, so sorry about the length. Seeing how I've been a huge fan and supporter of you guys for years, I figured it was my job, nay, my duty. I hope I did justice to that. All in caps. To ask you all this question in hopes that you could clear the air and have mutual understanding between everyone at Indus. Destiny the Taken King. Can it be a Game of the Year contender? Yay or nay? Now hear me out. This speaks of nothing on the quality of the game. Chris and Travis love it, and more power to them for doing so. I just remember a little incident way back in the 100 years of interactive distractions. It involved Mr. Chorney, Mr. A-Striker on the 2011 Game of the Year show disqualifying Super Street Fighter 4. Yep. Seeing that it was an expansion that should have been DLC rather than a full retail release. Jeff and Chris were against it being that being on that on the list, and Travis and Jason were for it. There were disagreements, tears, and a couple of Cleo Green fuck yous thrown around.
I do remember this, yeah.
But in the end, it was ultimately decided not to include Super Street Fighter 4 as a Game of the Year show. Fast forward a few years for the multiple releases of Diablo 3, Vanilla, Loot 2.0 console version, Reaper of Souls. And they all were in top 10, borderline top 10 every year for every Game of the Year show. So the question is, what are we classifying Destiny the Taken King? Just a really big patch with DLC that fixes the game, similar to Diablo 3, or a hefty expansion that brings new content to Destiny and should be looked at as a new game, a la World of Warcraft expansion? I'm sure Chris and Travis, who actually play the game, can say without a doubt that it essentially feels like a new game with the improvements and additions that were made. But I think that they... But if they can think objectively, see what I did there, will it break the top 10 for Indus' overall Game of the Year in 2015? Just a question out of curiosity and kind of make fun of you guys at the same time for laughs, after being a listener for so many years. Fucking double standards, right?
But
I'm mostly just kidding. Also, I wanted to get rid of some of the stress and anxiety you will have to deal with when you record your Game of the Year show in April 2016. thank you, Nobishin, and fuck you very much.
Well, it's going to take that long guys, for Chris Nobishin. To beat Metal Gear.
Yeah,
It will. It will probably take me that long. So. It probably will take me that long to beat Metal Gear because I can't get away from the side ops.
Thanks, Nobishin. That's true. Well, we talked a little bit about this a couple shows ago, and we actually talked about this, I think, off before we did the Game of the Year show when what's it called came out, the Diablo on consoles,
Reaper of Souls.
Yeah. Right.
The big thing, the difference is we were allowed to count that towards Game of the Year because it was never on consoles. Mm-hmm. So technically, we took that it's a new game on a console because it was on just PC before that. So it was like technically.
So we counted it when it hit PS4 as well.
It was just, did we? No, we had it on our own. Our personal top 10 list has never had any rules. It's been like, you can have whatever the fuck you
want. Oh, no, you're right. We did it on personal, but we didn't put it on the
collective. We didn't let it on the overall. Yeah, you could not have it on the overall.
I'm sure Nabishin will go back and listen to that show and tell us that we're lying.
Yeah, no, I think that's, no. I don't think when it came out on PS4 and Xbox One, I don't think any of us had it. I don't think it was ever even a nomination for a top 10.
Yeah.
On those. It definitely was on 360 and PS3.
Yeah.
Cause it was new to the console.
Yeah, cause it was new to the console. And, so for me, I am, being the, a player of the Taken King and being very, very into Destiny, I don't really have an opinion here. I mean, I could make arguments either way. Yes, it is an expansion of a game that's already there, but yes, it is a complete overhaul of said game.
Yeah.
So, but at the same time, it's like, these are things that should have been in the original game in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, in reality, the Taken King should have been a $20 expansion and all this other stuff should have already been there. I mean, that's my personal opinion. Mm. I put a lot of money into Destiny. You know, I bought the Ghost Edition. I bought the expansion pass and I bought the Taken King. So I spent my allotment of money on this game and I feel like I've gotten my money's worth because of how much I've played it. But at the same time, it is just an expansion, and they did a refresh on everything else. So again, I could argue either way, and I'm fine either way. I don't think it's, I'm not sure. I didn't play Super Street Fighter 4, so I can't really, say if it was as drastic a change between Vanilla Destiny and Taken King as if that was a similar change from Vanilla Street Fighter 4.
I don't even think that should be taken into consideration.
Yeah.
Now we should take note. I'm staying consistent. I was one of the ones that I played a lot of Super Street Fighter 2. I said that should not be allowed on the Game of the Year list because technically it is an expansion.
Yeah.
I would say the same thing with Taken King. It's still... It's the only expansion to the same game. It was a redone. They redid a lot of shit for Super Street Fighter 4. They changed a lot of the mechanics, added a shitload of characters, shitload of levels, and that was technically the game I played the most that year. But I was like, no, it's an expansion. It's like we couldn't go to Street Fighter 2, 4 twice in a row. That would just
be more Street Fighter 2.0 than it is Street Fighter 4.2.
Yeah, exactly. And Destiny is more 1.5, it's not Destiny 2.
It is just Destiny 2.0. Well, yeah.
By a number. Yeah. By the patch number.
Yeah. Yes. But it is just but the second version of the first Destiny, though.
It's exactly. Year 2. That's what they're calling it. It's year 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the thing.
And I'm with you. You know, I don't see any reason to necessarily argue for it to be on our Game of the Year list.
No. Because not our overall.
It'll be on mine.
Yeah, I was going to say, put it on your overall game, whatever, put it on your top 10.
Sure.
Fucking, yeah. You can put a game from 6 years ago on your overall. If you played that game a shitload, hell, go for it. That's one of the games you enjoyed most that year.
Symphony of the Night. I played that this year. There we go.
There you go. That could be one of your best games you played that year. Game on. But to stay consistent with how we've done it for 8 years or 7 years.
God, man.
The only reason Diablo got the nod is because it was re-released on consoles. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I feel like we had that discussion before we did the show too.
We did it before the show. And I think we discussed it actually on that show too. We said why that was. And I don't think it won. I think it was up there. I think it was nominated. I don't think it, cause
it came out. It was pretty up there.
It was probably up there, but it definitely didn't win. What the fuck won that year? I can't even remember.
What year was that?
It would have been 13, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right. 2013.
I don't remember. 2013? I'd have to go back and look.
This is really going to bug me now. What the fuck got it that year? Oh, Last of Us.
It had to have been Last of Us.
Yeah.
Did that come out that year?
Yes.
Yeah. Last of Us. We all voted
for Last
of Us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause y'all have some fucking class.
So, Travis will again, I know he will. Travis will again argue that it should be on there.
I can't remember what his arguments was for Super Street Fighter. I think his was because it was a new retail release. I think that's what it was, I can't remember.
And you know, I mean, Super Street Fighter 4 may have been a big enough change to warrant it. And
it was a big change. They had a lot of shit to it.
But you know, it's...
But Super Street Fighter, you had to buy retail.
Yeah, the Taken King is still something that you can just download.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, my argument would be okay, you can just buy it retail. You had to buy Super Street Fighter retail. You couldn't just... You could download it fully digitally, but you couldn't just download the expansion. Whereas Destiny, you could buy it or buy the expansion. It's going to cost you money. But if we're going to go by that way, then Ultra Street Fighter 4 would have been in our list. And Street Fighter 2000, wherever, because they only had like four expansions of that fucking
game. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was an arcade edition was the other one.
Arcade, that's right. That's right. Yeah, it was arcade edition, then Ultra. And then the one they released like 2 years ago that was like the crazy over the top. I don't know what the crazy stuff they had in it.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care. I really don't care if you guys want to like put it on there, but I just wanted to put it down to like this game's like, well, you guys put Destiny on there, then I'm going to fucking put something that no one else has played on there, which is NBA 2K17, 17, which isn't even out yet, 16. It's not really going to be up.
By Spike Lee.
Yeah, exactly. That storyline, so.
Yeah, dude.
Ripping.
My opinion doesn't matter, but I think it should.
Well, give your opinion.
I think it should.
What do you think?
Should not be on the top 10.
The official.
Official top 10.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we do pretty much a similar deal of like, you know, personal top 10, anything goes. A game that you didn't get to until this year, like from fucking 1996, whatever.
Could totally
be on there.
Yep.
But for the top 10s, you know, we have a bit more strict rules. And it is getting weird with like these big, like 2.0 releases, like Glue 2.0, Street Fighter.
Yeah, we're reaching gray areas in some of these things, but you know, at the same time, it's like, yeah, I don't really feel like the need to for it to be on there. You know, yeah. I mean, it's like
again, Loot 2.0. If it was just on the PC, we would not have included.
No, I think it
but
makes
the fact
sense
that it was
that
released on consoles. We're like, okay, well, technically, it was a game release just.
Yeah, because like for example, last year, Binding of Isaac Rebirth came out, and technically, you know, that was an expansion to Binding of Isaac, but it was also a re-release on console on PS4 and Vita. So we qualified that, like that was okay.
Yeah. Exactly. That's kind of what we did.
So, and they re-released it on PC as well. So, like, there are edge cases that I think can fit in there and have room to fit in there. And I think moving forward, it's definitely something people got to think about a lot more. Like, in the coming years is, like, these kind of big marquee $60 expansions that come out and you still have the same disc, but you pay $60 for something new as they continue to come out in the future, because I think it's going to get bigger and bigger. You know,
so, oh yeah, and this isn't the last time we're gonna see this out of Destiny.
Yeah,
you guys think the next one's gonna be Destiny 2, or think they have?
I think it's gonna be Destiny 2.
I think we'll have a Destiny 2 next year. I think that's probably gonna be the what they go by. It's gonna be, you know, you'll get one big expansion for this year, and then next year we'll get a new release. Then and like all the other stuff will still be there, but it's gonna be like.
A new disc
with much more content than what was in The Taken King, even that kind of thing. So.
Yeah, I think by the end of this 10-year plan they got with Destiny, they'll have set it up so you don't have to buy a new disc every 2 years. But not yet. We're not there yet. We're getting there though. So
yeah.
It's things are changing, but for now, Destiny is not a new fucking video game. That's where I draw my line.
I was gonna say. Well, Chris, you and Travis need to fucking play some games, because when it comes to our Game of the Year show, you guys are gonna have like three. Like by default, you're gonna have three games on your Game of the Year list. You're gonna be like,
I'm on that.
Destiny.
Play Ori and the Blind Forest. That game's real good.
I have that. I played that.
It's real good.
It's so good.
Yeah, I have it on PC. It's really good.
What a nice surprise that was. Galaxy's real good. That one's good.
I haven't played that one yet. That one I need to try.
Beat Bloodborne.
Bloodborne's real good. Man, that expansion. I'm stoked.
It's hard to say beat Bloodborne because it's a long game. So if you're not,
it's not as long.
It's a game in a genre that I've never been able to really sink my teeth into.
It's not as long as Dark Souls 2.
For fuck's sakes, beat The Order.
I need to play The Order.
You could have beat it on break.
I need to play The Order. Thank you for reminding me.
Dude, it's not that bad.
I really want to play it.
It's a good cinematic, just graphical showpiece has some gameplay elements in between.
But that shooting is not good.
It's not.
It's really not.
I'm waiting for Black Friday to get The Order for like $7.
That's about how much I paid for The Order, because I think Best Buy was running a deal where it was like 13, and then I got 20% off of it. So it's
after reading reviews, I'm like, that probably is going to get my like Lair award this year. And I'm like, you know what? It's not, because I thought it was a better game than what the reviews said. The majority of the reviews.
Yeah, the Lair award for Jeff 20
was
number
this
two.
Year.
Yeah, that was this year. It's like February.
Yeah, February.
Really early, yeah.
Damn Bloodborne
was
February.
What do you guys think? What do you guys think about this? I would love to hear from you guys about this particular topic. So You know, things like Destiny, The Taken King, things like Super Street Fighter V, Ultra Street Fighter, Super Street Fighter IV,
Five,
Ultra Street, Street Fighter IV. Should they be included in our Game of the Year list? Do they have enough content in them to warrant that? So let us know. Tell us what you think.
I'll send in drunk voicemail next week. There you
sweet.
Go.
Sweet.
There you go.
I'm holding you to that. If you don't, I'm gonna get
do it
on
outside
your ass
of your blown up house.
Yeah, that's all. I'll
no.
Do.
Too soon.
No, too soon.
It's pretty funny though.
It would be too soon for me.
Yeah, probably.
To respond, send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337. You can check us out on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast or Indus Questions. And then check us out on Facebook, Google Plus, Steam, Stitcher, and Twitch. Search for Interactive Distractions and you will find us. On Twitter, individually, we are Indus Chris, Indus Geoff, and Alex. What's your Twitter?
Alfighter27.
Alfighter27. Okay.
There's a number on
it. I always forget the number. I know it's Alpha. I always forget the number.
Yeah. I fucked up. It's okay.
yeah, that's about it. Hey, Alex, thanks for joining us, dude. Pimp
your
shit.
Cool. If you like my sultry tones, you can check out Irrational Passions Podcast. It's a podcast I host. We record every Saturday nights now. It used to be Friday. And that you can actually watch that live while we record on youtube.com/ Irrational Passions.
Ooh, fancy.
Or you can listen to the cleanup audio version every Tuesday, and that's Irrational Passions Podcast. And everything you want from me, irrationalpassions.com. So there you go.
All right, cool.
Very cool.
You guys have anything else?
Also, you'll hear Nabashin.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's a beautiful man.
And a funny ass drunk.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god. I feel really weird calling him Indus Cosby now though.
I'm not doing that ever again. Never again.
Oh man.
That name has been put to rest. I can't do that anymore. Cool. All right. So anything else before we wrap up?
Cool.
All right.
You anything coming up, Alex? Anything? Well, you guys have Extra Life coming up?
Extra
right
Life
now,
we're doing November 7th is that. We're working on where we're going to be doing it because we were going to do it at my house. So figuring that out.
Now there it's, that's not there anymore.
Yeah, now it's like a structure.
Sorry, I make a load of stuff when I'm uncomfortable.
we're going to do Extra Life in the burnt remains of my house.
Yeah. The ceiling will hopefully not cave in. No, I'm hopefully moving soon and then we'll be able to figure out times and dates, but that's going to be fun. We're going to have Troll, we're going to have Plank Fan, we're going to have Sigma Omega.
Oh, nice. Plank Fan's going
to...
Oh, he actually
lives in Pennsylvania, him and Troll are going to come down, and Justin Sigma Omega's going to be here. Joe's going to be here.
Nice.
I'm going to hug his cute little face, so... yeah, it's going to be a great time, so more details on that soon. So.
Very cool. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show, and if you did, please tell a few friends about us, and if you're on iTunes or Stitcher, leave us a review. But until next time, my name is Chris.
Oh, I'm Alex.
I'm Jeff.
Play your game, and we'll talk to you next week.
Later.
Way to fuck it up, Alex. Fuck you, man. One thing you had to fucking do, and you fucked it up.
You had one job. One job.
One job.
So sorry. My house blew up.
You show up late. You fuck up the outro.
Blew up.
I don't care.
Get your shit together, Jesus. Can I stop recording?
Yes.
Yeah.